I am Haley Satram. If you don't know me, I've been here at the church since about 2020, 2021. I work as a biblical counselor, and this idea of talking through body image really wasn't my idea. This was an idea that Mark Mullery had many months ago. He said, I'm going to talk about it in my sermon. I think it's something we need to talk more about as a church, and he wanted men to be talking about it and women to be talking about it. So he invited me to join him in opening up this topic with everyone. And I have to say, it felt a little ironic for me, and I had to kind of chuckle because this is an area I really struggle with. So I really don't come to you as any kind of expert in what it is like to live in a fallen body and to all the wrestling that comes with that. I more come as a fellow struggler in this area, and really the context of this book study goes back to many months ago when Leah and I were just having a conversation with each other, even before Mark mentioned opening this topic up, and we were discussing how it can be kind of exhausting, just the way our thought life can get consumed with thoughts about appearance or food or exercise and just the struggle that that can be. And Leah was the first to recommend this book to me. She said, you know, everything you're talking about, I really think this book does a good job handling some of these issues. So if you didn't realize, you're here to discuss this book. It's called Beautiful Freedom, How the Bible Shapes Your View of Appearance, Food, and Fitness. It's written by Stacy Rioch. Rioch? What do you think? If she was here, we would ask her. And, you know, whether you had a chance to read yet or not, we're giving kind of a Cliff's Notes today. So I hope that it will be encouraging to you either way. I know last week we didn't get to start when we thought, and I hope everyone had a lot of fun in the snow. But this week we'll be looking at part one of the book. And that's a pretty large portion of the book, so we're covering kind of a lot of ground today, more so than in future weeks. Next week, we'll be looking at just exercise and fitness and thinking about that from a theological lens and also a practical lens. The next week, we'll look at food. And then we'll also have a conversation on aging. However, we'll have to let you know the date and time of that because the consecutive week at the end of all this, there's actually a big prayer and fasting event that we don't want to kind of overcrowd. So we'll let you know more about that. Yeah, these were some of the reasons Leah and I decided to read this book together and then to share it with all of you. But I guess the question is, what was Stacy's purpose in writing it? And I think from what I can draw from her book, it seems that her main idea in writing the book is that we can experience greater freedom in the area of our body image as we, one, redefine beauty through a biblical lens, how God sees beauty. Two, as we examine our heart motives in the areas of appearance, food, and exercise. And three, as we steward the good gift of our bodies for the glory of God. So we're going to be talking about some of that today as a framework. And then in the future weeks, we'll talk a little bit more practically day to day, what that might look like in these various areas. I want to read to you, in her own words, kind of how she explains this main idea. She says, we want to really examine our motivations. Why do we eat the way that we do? Why do we exercise or not exercise? Why are we inclined to go to great lengths to look a few years younger? Why do we have this tendency or that tendency? And crucially, where is God calling us into something better? In what ways is he inviting us into freedom? My prayer for you as you read this book is that God will grant you new eyes to see your body the way he sees it, as a gift to enjoy and to steward for his glory. I hope that you will start to find freedom from the fears and the concerns that weigh you down, and confidence in his sovereign work that knitted you together. And I pray you will be inspired to love God more. Our Creator is the true source of beauty, and fixing our hope on him will never disappoint. So with that, why don't I pray for us, and then we'll just jump into the first three chapters of this book and learn a little bit from Stacy this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to open up this area of our lives with each other and with you, Lord. We thank you for Mark's wisdom and pointing us that direction. And God, we just pray that you would really meet us where each of us are at, and that you would speak words of encouragement, words of inspiration and hope. God, that you would challenge us and you would edify us, and that we would just grow in really believing what you say about beauty, and that we would grow in just surrendering this area of our life to you and walking with you in this, Lord. And if nothing else comes from these times together, then that we have opened up this part of our life with each other and with you, we really see that as a win, Lord. And so we just invite your Spirit now to speak to us through your word and to fill us with hope that never disappoints. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, let's take a look. Chapter 1. Like I said, we're covering a lot of ground. In your handout, I tried to go ahead and just throw the scripture verses in there so we don't have to flip all around since we are covering so much ground today. And my aim in that is that also you can take this handout home and maybe spend your own time reflecting on some of these truths, looking through some of the discussion questions and reflection questions, and just thinking about this, reflecting in your own time. But as we are here together this morning, what can we learn here from Stacy? First of all, before we jump in, how would you define beauty? I just kind of wonder, what ideas do you have in terms of what is beauty? Any thoughts? It can be anything that comes to mind. It's kind of a big question. Okay. Yeah, something that's pleasing, something that brings happiness and joy. Those are good thoughts. Any other thoughts on how we might define beauty? Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's why we're here, is it's a struggle, right? Our flesh and the culture around us has definitely defined beauty for us, and it even differs century to century and culture to culture, but there is always some kind of cultural definition that tends to be unattainable and a bit exhausting. What Stacy defines beauty as, she says, the quality present in a thing or person that gives intense pleasure or deep satisfaction to the mind. And she said, God was the one who created us as people who delight in beauty. You see it in scripture often, the awe that we have at beauty. And Stacy says that God is the source of beauty, and he's actually the most magnificent display of beauty. So what does she mean by that? How is it possible that God is most magnificently beautiful? In what ways is he beautiful? Any thoughts? His character. Okay, what do you mean by that? Yeah. When we think about what brings us awe about God, it's his beautiful character, his patience, his mercy, his goodness, his holiness, his righteousness, his grace. It's the aspects of his character that we find ourselves in awe of. And we see here King David in Psalm 27. He says, one thing I've asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I think that, perhaps we don't wake up every day looking for God's beauty, but there are times we are really overwhelmed by it. And I think if we did go looking, we would always find it. And I love this sentiment of David that would be the thing that he seeks the most, is being able to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And I guess a question I have for all of us, and that Stacy poses to us, is, is it possible that gazing at the Lord will actually be a profound step toward freedom in the area of worry about our own image or our own beauty. Does gazing at the Lord matter? And she says it does. One thing we see in Scripture that's very interesting is the more we gaze at the Lord, Scripture says we actually become transformed to become like God in his beauty and his glory. Can someone read 2 Corinthians 3:18 for me on the page? Hannah, thank you. Oh, the next one. Uh-huh. Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, so we gaze on the beauty of the Lord, and we're actually transformed to become more beautiful like God, to have his glory. And this is important because it seems very clear in Scripture that the way God understands beauty and what he cares about over and above our outward appearance is actually the inner state of our heart. And so we see here in 1 Samuel 16:7, for the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Also we see in 1 Peter 3:3-4, do not let your adorning be external. Let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. So there are so many things in life that we can't help but find that our default definition really comes from the culture around us. This is one of those areas where we have to stop and we have to consider, even though I'm sure that beauty is X, Y, and Z, what does Scripture actually say? What does God want me to know about what true beauty is? And he makes himself very clear that true beauty is actually found within. And I think this actually makes a lot of sense, right? Because if we consider God's character, his holiness, his righteousness, his loving kindness and humility, those are the things that we find beautiful. And it wouldn't be surprising then that our own true beauty will be found as we reflect these character traits of God. And so I think about the fruits of the Spirit and how attractive they are. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I think as we think about those traits, there's such a desire to become that kind of woman and to find that it's really hard, but that we do find it very attractive. And so it makes sense that this is what God is leading us into, is having freedom in our physical beauty as we really gaze more at his beauty and are transformed in the inner self. So what shall we say then? If beauty is really the inner state of our hearts, does that mean our bodies just don't matter? It would feel like, well, it's all spiritual, so maybe our bodies don't matter very much. However, we don't really see that in Scripture either, because our bodies, our physical bodies, they were God's idea. He created them. He created each one unique, and he created them on purpose, and he created them with a purpose. So we don't want to just ignore our physical bodies. Let's look at these verses to just kind of bring some context to this. Who can read Psalm 139:13-14 for us? Go ahead. Thanks. Yeah, so we see here that God not only created us, but that we're actually fearfully made. We're wonderfully made. Wonderful are his works with our body. And it says that our soul knows it very well. And I find that really interesting because I think so often in my own life, when I think about my physical body, it's so easy to go to the imperfections, you know, to think about what frustrates you, what's not working right. But wonderful are his works. Our souls know it very well. What would it look like to spend more time really appreciating the good gifts of our bodies and what is working and what he has done. And I wonder if just for a minute we could do that. Why don't you just share with me shout outs, like something that you're grateful for with your physical body that was God's idea, that is a gift. Healing? Yeah, healing from sickness, healing from a bone break. I mean, it's kind of amazing what the body can do in terms of healing. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, the strength of our bodies. You know, we can get frustrated when there are times of weakness in our body, but also the fact that our bodies can walk, or they can make food, or they can do all of these amazing things. It's easy to just kind of overlook that and take that part for granted. But it's very miraculous. I think it's a masterpiece, the creation of our bodies that God has done with their sophisticated systems and everything else. And so not to pass over that, not to ignore and not notice or take for granted these amazing things that we're just born with in our body because God created it. But also we see that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God has a purpose for our bodies. How are we supposed to use our bodies? Why can the physical body have a purpose? Any thoughts based on that verse or otherwise? Yeah, we can use our bodies to praise God, to serve other people, to do the good works that he has prepared for us. So we live in a physical world and we have a physical body. And even though God absolutely looks at our heart above our outward appearance, our bodies really matter. He created them on purpose and with a purpose. So as we think about that, we want to spend some time, maybe during the discussion time later, just really looking at the gift of our bodies and, appreciating that. And something that I was thinking about in the personal reflection question, if you happened to be at Jenny's talk yesterday, which was really excellent, she talked a lot about taking her thoughts captive and being able to put something she believes on one side of a card and then how scripture speaks to that on the other side of the card. I think that actually is a really timely concept as we consider body image. There's going to be a lot of beliefs that we have, lies that we just kind of give into. And so what we want to do is actually not just ignore these things that are constantly in our mind, but actually pinpoint, what do I believe about my body? Do I appreciate the things that God has given me? Do I believe what he says about beauty? And if I don't, what scriptures can speak to that? And how can he renew my mind over time? This takes us into chapter 2, where Stacy talks about whose kingdom are you seeking? And this is helpful. She starts to become a little more challenging in chapter 2. We go from a definition of beauty and thanksgiving over our bodies to recognizing that we are people with hearts divided. And that is just always the case in many different areas of life, this area included. We, as Christians, really seek to follow God and to build up his kingdom, but the truth is that we tend to have feet in two places. We want to build up God's kingdom, but there's also this little personal kingdom that we're pretty invested in, we're pretty committed to. And there are things that we want to keep in our kingdom a certain way, and we don't necessarily want to reconcile it with God's kingdom or make it secondary to God's kingdom. And so that's kind of what this chapter is more about. I want to read some of her words to you so you can hear how she speaks of this. She says, "When our thoughts become consumed with our appearance, a new diet, or an exercise regimen, we may have fallen into a trap of idolatry. We're focusing on our own little kingdom and not necessarily on God's." She also says, "Wherever you're at, it's worth taking time to examine and challenge yourself about your actions and attitudes. Because in order to find freedom in our struggles, we need to become real about them. we need to think carefully about the unhelpful patterns of thought we've gotten into and how our focus on body image and body issues may have drawn us away from gazing at the Lord. We need to realize where we've fallen into sin and where we may need to repent and ask for help to change. Some examples she gives. She says, you can see how longing for the perfect body or an obsession with a perfect diet could end up squeezing out God because we're following our own plan for happiness instead of following God. We can think that in order to find a sense of value or significance, we need to fit into a certain dress size. Or we may idolize organic food, thinking that if we can control every ounce of food we consume, it will ensure us good health or a pain-free life. Or we might use the excess of food to numb pain or stress we're feeling inside. Maybe exercise is so important that we feel like our day is ruined if we haven't fit in our workout. Our happiness depends on it. There's so many ways we can take the good gifts of food, exercise, and beauty and warp them into many idols of our heart. So here she wants us to just start to take stock. What's happening in our heart? What's happening in our thought life? What's happening in our behaviors? And how are those symptomatic of which kingdom we may be following? Now, she's not promoting, and the Bible's not promoting, a sense of asceticism, right, where we wear sackcloth and we take an oath of poverty and we eat slop or something, you know. We're not looking for a legalism that, again, gives us some sense of control that I've checked every box to make sure I don't in any way go off course in this area of my life. I think instead, as Christ calls us to in so many areas of life, there is an assessment we want to make about our hearts by looking at our thoughts and our actions to see, what am I not really surrendering to the Lord? What am I keeping for myself? And does that show there may be something I'm worshiping as a functional God or demanding as an idol that really has nothing to do with what God is doing in my life? And this is hard. You know, we see this in the area of money. We see this in the area of food. We see this in the area of appearance. There's so many things in life that require not to forego those things altogether. They're good gifts, but to figure out, how do I steward this well? And that's where she's pointing us to a place of noticing where we are maybe giving into our own striving and our own kingdoms, as opposed to really opening these things up as stewardship before the Lord. So in this chapter, she really looks at Matthew 6, and I would give you encouragement to look through that some yourself this week. Just the way Matthew 6 points to our anxieties and what we're fretting over and what we are treasuring in our hearts. And that can help us to notice what perhaps is more important to us than even following God, or what we are putting up just as high as that. And her suggestion, and Scripture's suggestion, is that as we seek first the kingdom of God, these things fall into place. So there's not a formula of, here's what you should eat, or here's what your fitness should look like, or, you know, here's how much makeup you can wear. There's no formula to be had here. And in some ways, that can be maybe like a little frustrating because you just want to know what to do. But that's not really how God intends us to live. He wants us to seek his kingdom, to have presence with him, to walk with him, to give all of our worries to him, and to see how he provides and how he leads and what he will show us. And so that can be uncomfortable for us, but we grow in our neediness for him as we see how much we really need this. And we grow in our trust for him as we do walk with him in these ways. Jenny, again, yesterday was talking about her counseling and how her counselor had asked her, you know, it seems like you maybe don't realize how needy you are. And she thought, well, I feel really needy. But it's taking it to that next place of not just recognizing you're needy, but actually looking to God as the provider of your needs, as the one who can lead you in this complicated world where we are in the already and the not yet. So there's some diagnostic questions here that are from page 40 of her book. And these can be helpful in trying to assess if there is an idol that you are struggling with in the area of appearance or food or aging or exercise. And it may not be any of those areas. You may find you have a lurking idol in something altogether different than what this class is about, but these questions are helpful in all those ways. What do I feel like I can't live without? Like, if I don't have this, life isn't even worth living. Or what do I feel like I need in order to be happy or complete? Can't be happy unless this box is checked. What makes me angry or bitter? That can be a sign. There is something in your heart that you are treasuring that is not an ultimate thing. It's not God himself. What do I feel entitled to? How do I respond when I don't get what I'm entitled to? Where does my mind go during downtime? What do I daydream about? These are ways, she says, you can determine some of your idols. And, she says when you uncover an idol, what you want to do is to confess that to the people around you, which is part of the reason we're holding this book study, just so that these conversations start to be had. I feel like, was it Carol came in this morning and she said, I've been a Christian for, I don't know, a lot of years. She didn't exactly say how many years. She said, I've never actually heard the church talk about this issue of just living in your body and the difficulty that is. And I think this is largely sometimes something that is in the darkness. We either don't talk about it because we're trying to protect our little kingdom, perhaps, or maybe we don't talk about it because it's an area of shame or it's a bit of a taboo area. It can be sensitive. I think we want to bring it out and not let it be such a sensitive topic, to really come alongside each other and just even understanding what are we all believing and what is true. And that is done better in community with each other and certainly in communion with God. And I think what we will find with any idol is that it always disappoints, particularly if you're a Christian. God never really lets you enjoy your idol for all that long. It becomes a very frustrating situation. And we learn that he is the one who can actually meet that hunger or thirst for that thing that we want so bad, more than anything in this world or anyone in this world. And I think over time, we start to see that and believe that, but it is a bit of a growth journey. So idols are kind of what chapter 2 is all about. I think in particular, as you think about going back and looking at some of the discussion questions or reflection questions this week, I think the questions from chapter 2 can be really helpful. And even if we have time this morning to do a little bit of small group discussion, I think that chapter 2 is a good place to hang out and try to figure out, what am I kind of coddling or protecting? That is really much more about my own glory or my own comfort than it is anything to do with God. And how can I bring that to him and let him speak into that with his truth and also move in me with his spirit? That's kind of what we want to look for. So moving into chapter 3, this is where she opens up this spectrum of ignoring versus idolizing our bodies, having apathy over our body or having obsession, and what does it look like to find a healthy balance? This becomes an excellent segue into our future weeks. Like, how do we actually do this, right? We can talk about, all of these concepts of beauty and of surrender and of kingdom seeking, but then we live day to day in a very physical world and, by the first hour of our day, it's already become really complicated. So a lot of our next weeks, we'll talk about that more specifically. But here she holds out just a picture of the way in different seasons of life, we may struggle with either indifference about our physical body, or we may struggle with obsession over our physical body. It takes up a lot of our thought life, for instance, or a lot of our time is devoted to it. And there's different reasons and different seasons that we may swing one way or the other with the pendulum, but she holds out just a vision for what God really wants for us in terms of stewardship of our body. So could someone read 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20 for us? Okay, so our body is the temple of God's Spirit, which is kind of amazing, right? What an amazing truth about our body that God actually resides inside of it. We don't go to the temple and to the Holy of Holies to be with God because of Jesus dying on the cross and raising again. He sent the Helper, and as we trust in Him, the Holy Spirit actually resides in us. And when we read scripture, when we pray, when we spend time with the Lord, we are filled up and encouraged, and our eyes see what God sees more clearly. And he says, with this in mind, we have to remember we're not our own. Our bodies are not our own. We were bought with the price of Jesus's death, right? And so we glorify God in our body. So what does this mean? Any thoughts from you all? What does it look like to glorify God with our body? What comes to mind? Yeah, that we actually see God's image in people, where we see what the Spirit's doing, and there's something bright about that. There's something we're drawn to in that. That is maybe a picture of what glorifying God in our body can feel like or look like. Any other thoughts of, you know, we're not going to cover everything, but what could it mean to glorify God in your body? Yeah, there's a lot there. I love that. So on one hand, glorifying God in our bodies means we're going to take care of them. They house the Holy Spirit. God has a purpose for them. And so we're going to really think about, how do we fuel our body? How do we, use our body in ways that make it more healthy, and think about that. But then also, you mentioned, we're going to really take stock of the thoughts we're having about our bodies and other people's body, because we live in a culture where there's so much judgment. And a lot of lies about bodies and about appearance and about beauty. And so even just noticing when we are shaming our bodies or someone else's body, or we are, you know, in some way, you know, thinking wrongly about it, to actually notice it and to try to, as Jenny mentioned yesterday, to actually not just push past that, but notice that and speak to it with truth and let God renew our minds as we think about bodies. Yeah, I think these are all good ideas. And I think, again, there's just no formula for what it looks like to glorify God in your body. It can look different for different people. It can look different in different stages of life. Sometimes it would be great to get a certain amount of sleep, and that would be really good for your body. And then there's just certain stages of life where, whew, that's just not going to be possible. But we try to take all of this, you know, under the authority of God, and look for how to steward our bodies well. And so we will talk more about that in the coming days. I think one thing that Stacy said that has really stuck with me is that balance in stewardship, balance between apathy and obsession, will come ultimately from worship and not willpower. Let me just say that again, because I've really been chewing on this, that balance comes from worship and not willpower. She says freedom in this area will start with presence with God, not behavioral striving, which is kind of the opposite of everything we think about in this arena. You know, it's January. We're thinking, what's our fitness plan going to be? Or like, what are we going to do with our nutrition? And it's not to say we're not thoughtful about these things, but it's where do you start? And Stacy suggests that you want to start with communion with God, that behavioral striving is going to be exhausting and it's going to always go sideways. But presence with God is where we will grow in wisdom, where we will grow in reflection, where we will grow in seeing beauty the way God sees beauty, where will we grow in thinking about stewardship of our body. So we have here in Psalm 16:11, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So I think there can be this initial default response of like, I've got to get it together. I'm going to come up with a plan. Let me figure this out and have a great system in place. But I think what God is inviting us into primarily first is rest in him. And that feels really counterproductive, especially in the DC area. We don't really think about rest as important. It's kind of a luxury on the side. But God is calling us not into the kind of rest where you put your feet up and watch that Netflix show for hours on end. I've done that too. But this is a different kind of rest, a rest in his presence, that is where he will actually renew our mind as we rest in his scripture, rest in reflection and time with him. And that will actually give us what we need moving forward in seeking his kingdom in this area. Now, with that said, I do promise we will talk through more practicals about exercise next week and food the week after that. But I do want that to be the main takeaway today, that balance comes from worship and not willpower. And I would love for us to take that into the week and just chew on that and see what God has for us there. Spend time with him this week, pray about this, invite him in, and see how he starts to give us a vision for more in this area. Now, we have some minutes left, so what I would love to do is actually give you a chance to digest some of this with each other. So I'm thinking today, we might do different things different weeks, but I thought for today, it'd be great if you could get in a group of two or three just around you and talk through some of the discussion questions in your handout. You don't have to go in order. You can just pick some that you think would be a good thought exercise for you. And talk through some of these things for a few minutes, and then we'll pull you back together as we wrap up.